Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at Four. Here's The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
That was something by Malik Reed. Let me tell you about his numbers for a second before I get to the bigger question. Malik Reed yesterday. I mean, Chubb had a great game. Malik Reed, 6 tackles, a sack and a half, 2 tackles for a loss, 3 quarterback hits. Just, I mean, all over the place. Deshaun Williams had a great game too. And he's had a tough road to the NFL, so I don't want to pass on what was a spectacular day for him as well, with 2 sacks, a couple of tackles for a loss, a couple quarterback hits. I mean, the whole D-line played great. But let me ask you this, Tyler, about Malik Reed.
Yeah.
Have we seen what we need to see from Malik Reed to the degree that we're going to be all right moving on from Von Miller?
Whoa, I don't really love the way you preface that, because to me, that kind of insinuates that he can replace Von Miller.
No. All right, I'm not, because there's no replacing Von Miller.
Right, right.
Okay? But can the defensive line, pass rush, can be as effective as you need them to be with a combination of Bradley Chubb, Malik Reed, knowing when you move on from Bond, you are opening up millions of dollars to work on other parts of the team?
Yeah, see, for Vaughn, I don't think that Malik really has anything to do with anything, to be honest. His salary's got everything to do with everything, and that's that. That's just, it is what it is. So, Von Miller is not going to be on this team making his current contract next year.
Well,
if he's going to be on this team, it's going to be on a reduced rate. Now, Malik Reed, does that make it eat?
I'm asking the bigger question. What? Not a reduced rate. Are you just going to be all right just to move on?
No, I mean, if I can get Vaughn back on a reduced rate, 100%, I would bring him back on a reduced rate, even with Malik Reed playing pretty good football for us. I mean, Malik's got 6.5 sacks. It's a good year. It's a respectable year for an undrafted guy that's been called on to play much more than he was ever asked to be playing at this point. Respectable year, but it's not a Von Miller type of year, right? And so if I could get Vaughn back on a reduced deal, 100%, I would still love to do that.
Okay, what's the number then?
Oh, put me on the spot here. I got to look at all the contracts.
Well,
I see
because
what,
every penny you don't spend on Vaughn is a penny you can spend somewhere else.
Sure, and you got some high-priced guys. I mean, you got Justin right. Simmons, you got Garrett Bowles. Those are just two that pop up right away. And I think Simmons, you're probably going to offer him a long-term deal. I think Bowles is more than likely going to get franchise-tagged. And Vaughn, boy, I mean, without even looking at the numbers, it's kind of hard, but I'll guess, you know, if you get him somewhere in the $10 to $11 million range.
Okay. Well, that would be a huge pay cut for him.
I mean, 50%. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough though. He's coming off major injury. He's aging and he's got guys that are producing at his spot.
He does. And I'm not suggesting Malik Reed is like replacing Vaughn. Or that, I'm saying how it's all going to work together. You know, how it's all going to blend together.
Bottom line is, the Broncos would love to bring Von Miller back at a reduced rate.
Would they?
Yes. Yes. Why would they not? You think that you've seen enough out of Bradley Chubb and Malik Reed to feel like we've got a satisfactory pass rush?
I'm asking you that question.
Well, my answer to that is no. I would still love to have Vaughn.
Okay. You think Vaughn would come back to the Denver Broncos for half the pay?
I do not, because he's more than likely going to get at least whatever the Denver Broncos are offering, probably more elsewhere. And if it's as much or more, and he's got the ability to handpick going to a contender, why would he not go to a contender in his twilight years?
How about this? Have we seen enough from the combination of guys and maybe Malik Reed with Bradley Chubb? Have we seen enough that you're comfortable at least taking the chance that you can offer Vaughn some sort of pay reduction to keep him?
Well, I'd be doing that regardless. So, yes. I mean, either way, I'm doing that.
Okay.
Whether Malik Reed was producing or not,
all right.
I'm coming to Vaughn and asking him to take a pay cut.
How comfortable are you compared to how comfortable then? You do it no matter what. You do it no matter what.
Again, I would do it no matter what. And again, I would still prefer, my preference would be to get him back. So, yeah.
I'm growing more comfortable with it, I guess. I understand it's not going to be the same number.
Right.
I had hesitations about it. I'm just seeing performance from these guys. And, you know, at least I thought that's what yesterday was all about. Good things to come. Right on that peace train. There were things happening that I'm like, wow, that's been missing, but it's happening now. Let's see more of that. And I think the future's pretty bright if you keep seeing that. Now, before I go too far down that train track, the peace train track, talk to me about the offensive line of the Dolphins. Were they terrible? Are they actually pretty good? What were you seeing out of them yesterday?
I saw them get out schemed for the first part of it, and they were not prepared for all the games and all the blitzes that Vic Fangio was going to bring. Fangio said after the game he would have loved to pressure even more than he did in this game. The game plan was to pressure even more than that. Well, he pressured a lot, and the Dolphins were not prepared for it. Tua was acting very similar to Drew Locke in previous games, in that he was not identifying the blitz pre-snap, and he was not getting them into the right pass protection to pick it up. So they had their hands tied based off scheme alone. Is Austin Jackson a good left tackle? Yeah, he's a good left tackle. He's a young left tackle that has got a long ways to go. And they had a backup right tackle in the game at one point. So, you know, that was not an elite offensive line by any means, but I wouldn't classify him as terrible either.
So why so effective today when that's been missing at various points this year?
Any given Sunday, man, I don't have a great answer for it. It's just any given Sunday, you out-schemed them, number one. And anytime you can do that, you're going to have a really good chance. When you bring six and they only have five blockers and you bring the sixth guy off the man side of the protection, well, you're going to get home. And that's what we were able to do. So a lot of that goes on coaching.
I was just going to go there. Like tip of the hat, right?
Yeah, Vic Fangio, man, he has a ton of success against young quarterbacks. He always has, and it hasn't changed.
So we saw success on the defense that we hadn't been seeing, but tip of the hat to coaching. We saw a game plan on offense that was so far superior to anything we've seen. And by the way, everybody knows it should have been at least 27 points. I've seen some people on the RamosLaw.com text line, they only scored 20 points. I mean, all right, come on now. You know what it should have been. In fact, it could have even been more, and we'll talk about it later, about the fourth and one, whether you go for it or get the points. I'm interested to hear your take on that. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, they kick a field goal there just to put those points up, and the defense stops the Dolphins, which the defense did, and then everything else kind of transpires the way it goes, which it absolutely could have, and that Melvin Gordon doesn't fumble the ball there. That's 30 points. That's 30 points that you produced on a good Dolphins team, a team that had won five games in a row, a good Dolphins defense. You produced 30 points like that, like having a balance of things without, you know, some heroic effort, without a pick six, without a punt return for some sort of ridiculous yards, without any of that. That was 30 points really that you could have had offensively that you earned, in my opinion. And I do want to discuss to you the fourth.
Let's do it.
We'll get into that. We'll get into Philip Lindsay and Melvin Gordon. Well, that's a good front door to go through, what you thought of that combination. It's time for our injury report, brought to you by the Elite Sportsbook at the Red Dolly Casino in Blackhawk. Drew Locke, fine. He's okay. Graham Glasgow had issues with his calf. Shelby Harris might have a chance to play this upcoming weekend as he's recovering from COVID. It's our injury report presented by the Elite Sportsbook at the Red Dolly Casino in Blackhawk. This is The Drive on the Fan.
How about that Bronco defense? Vic Fangio's crew welcomed Tua to the NFL, sacking him six times and sending him to the bench. Bradley Chubb, Malik Reed, and Deshaun Williams made life miserable for the rookie, delivering his first NFL defeat. With Force, where Broncos country comes for inside information and opinions. Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, what's going on, my friends? Tyler Palumbus here for Holy Smokes Barbecue, the Grill and Chubbs. Guys, if you're thinking about adding a wood pellet grill to your backyard, right now is one of the two best times in the entire year to make that purchase because the best pellet grills are currently on sale, and I'm talking about Traeger. Special deals have started and go through the end of November. And you know the best place to pick one up. It's at Holy Smokes Barbecue, the Grill and Chubbs in Castle Rock and Centennial. Listen, I know all the other big box stores, mid-sized stores, they're advertising this Traeger deal that's going on. We know that. Free assembly, free delivery. Well, Holy Smokes does all of that. But the difference is, Holy Smokes only does barbecue. They don't sell drills, hammers, screws, or nails. Guys, they sell barbecue. That's what they do. And if you ever have an issue with your grill, guess who Traeger calls to fix it up? That's right, Holy Smokes. They're the best, guys. So pick up the phone and call them today or go visit them in one of their two locations. And you can find them at hsbbq.com. That's hsbbq.com.
Brandon Stokely here for the best real estate agent in the state of Colorado, and that's my guy, Chad Madam. You know that no Colorado realtor has been on the fan longer or sold more homes in the state of Colorado than Chad Madam. Listen to these results. Chad listed a home for Devin and Jason in Highlands Ranch. They reached out to Chad and his team about getting their home sold before moving up into a new home. After a short marketing consultation at their home, Chad had their home marketed and ready to sell within 48 hours. On the first weekend, Chad got Jason and Devin $20,000 over asking price for their home and the exact date they wanted to move out to make the process hassle-free. Chad Madam sells homes for 3% more money. He sells them three times faster. He has sold more homes than any other agent in Colorado with over 5,000 homes. So Chad will guarantee to sell your home in 29 days or less, or it's free, no commission at all, and he doesn't lock you into a contract. You can cancel at any time for any reason at zero cost to you. So give my guy Chad Madlam a call today, 303-900-8857, or you can go online to fastsaleguaranteed.com.
We make USAA renters insurance for the stuff you love, because if it's worth owning, it's worth protecting from the unexpected. That electric guitar, worth it. That big screen TV, worth it. And that espresso machine, definitely worth it. That's why USAA makes it easy to cover what you care about. It's easy on your wallet with coverage for as low as 33 cents a day. Easy to customize. And if you ever need to make a change, that's easy too. So you can spend less time worrying about insurance and more time enjoying the stuff you love. Get a quote today at usaa.com/renters insurance. USAA, what you're made of, we're made for. USAA. 33 cents a day calculated by average price for $2,500 personal property coverage, $100,000 liability coverage, and $5,000 medical payments coverage. Rates vary by location and risk and are subject to change.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
$100 prepaid card. Plus, ask how you can get $300 off eligible phones for a big savings of up to $500. Don't miss out on the incredible Black Friday sales. The sale ends December 7th, so visit Xfinity.com, call Xfinity XFi, or visit Xfinity store near you today. Internet offer requires paperless billing and auto pay. Restrictions apply. New performance starter plus internet customers only. Equipment taxes and fees extra and subject to change. After the term, regular rate supply. Based on root metrics by IHS Markit's Root Score Reports 2H 2020 of 4 mobile networks.
This segment on 104.3 The Fan is brought to you by Car Toys.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
First and goal. Good-looking try. Second and three, Gordon rising up wide. Blocked in there by Kumandali. There he goes! For six, Gordon runs to daylight. 20-yard touchdown run, and the Broncos build on their lead. First and goal of the nine. Gordon has got two rushing touchdowns. Breaking three. Oh, look at this one! He fumbled at the one. He fumbled at the one. Let's see if Miami has covered it up.
Melvin Gordon. Interesting day. 15 carries, 84 yards, 5.6 per, along with 25, two touchdowns and the fumble. Philip Lindsay continues to not fumble ever, apparently. 16 carries for 82 yards, 5.1, 20 yards, no touchdowns. Okay. Drew Lock ran it twice, so 33 total rushing attempts. And the time, those two runs by Drew Lock were huge, including that third and 13. And we can get into that in a little bit when we go into Drew. But talk to me about what you're seeing between Melvin Gordon and Phillip Lindsay, with the understanding, by the way, that likely we, the Broncos, won't have Melvin Gordon for the final three games of the season.
Well, you got to imagine this is what they had in mind, right? You know, when you went out and you signed Melvin Gordon up in the offseason and you paid him a boatload of money when you already had a 1,000-yard rusher, you were thinking to yourselves, well, we're going to be able to utilize these guys. And so far, up until this game, we certainly had not been able to. This was awesome. This was incredible, man. I mean, and if you would have told me that we'd be able to get, 10 games a year out of Melvin Gordon and Phillip Lindsay that looked like that, I would be all for the Melvin Gordon signing. The problem is I didn't think it was realistic. I still don't think it's realistic to get both of those guys that involved in multiple games. But it was a great thing to watch. It was a huge part of Drew Lock's success. The running game was great. Drew Lock was able to play underneath center. He was able to have play action passing. Drew Lock, off play action against the Dolphins, was 8 of 11. 8 of 11. That's pretty dang good, man. I mean, he was able to lock in and successfully complete easy passes that come when you're running the ball well. And Melvin Gordon, the irony of his fumble, that was maybe his best run of the year, and he fumbled on it. What a run that was. But he fumbled.
And he fumbled.
And I still think to myself, man, when the game's on the line, I don't think I'd have him in there.
Oh, man. Can I tell you something else I saw Melvin Gordon do?
Sure.
Probably better than Phillip.
Sure.
Pass block.
Oh, yeah.
A couple times. Like, he had to go toe-to-toe with a big dude, and he didn't get bowled over. He was able to hang in there enough. Something Phillip would struggle with. Nothing against Phillip. It's just, you know, it's some science going on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt. Melvin is a better pass blocker. He is. He's got a bigger body. It's not that he's more willing. It's just that he's more able.
No, it's just physics. It's just size. It's just that's it.
Right.
Nothing to do with heart or determination or anything like that. Zero. But he did fumble again.
Yep.
And, man, that was a really good drive, and his run was exceptional. I didn't think it was going anywhere. It wasn't going anywhere. And he just, through his determination and effort, really, well, it was called a touchdown. I mean, it wasn't even close to a touchdown, but they know. It's good to see the refs know. We'll call it a touchdown. We'll figure it out later. You know, that's the way to do it. And but four fumbles this year, man. Not good.
Oh, it's way too many. It's just, it's a big concern. But Melvin Gordon had a great game, and that was a fantastic run that he had. He probably should have recognized that he didn't need to be pressing in that situation, and it was not a do-or-die situation in which you had to go score, and you could put it all on the line. But Phillip Lindsay, the way that he takes care of the ball, that's something unique as well. Listen, Melvin Gordon does things that are better than Phillip Lindsay. He does. He's a better pass blocker. He's probably a better short yardage guy. When the game's on the line, does that mean I want him in there? No, I want the guy in there that I know that I can trust. And Phillip Lindsay is a dang good running back in his own right. So I think this is awesome. If we could continue,
just like this.
If we could continue to go down this road,
and
you use both guys,
yeah.
I mean, even if it's not 80 and 80, even if it's 60 and 60, that's still a heck of a game. You get 120 yards on the ground and both guys get 60 yards. That's one hell of a game.
And you stay committed to it.
Right.
Even though you were down 7-0 and things were kind of bumpy in the beginning, you didn't give up on it by any stretch. You know, it's interesting too. No targets passing to either Gordon or Phillip. None. Zero. But they got Nick Vanette in the game, and Troy Fumagalli was wide open and may have walked in for a touchdown if Drew Lock didn't put it over his head on that one play, if you can remember it. I mean, he was all by himself. And Noah Fant had 5 targets and looked good in his 4 catches.
Yep.
So you had 8 targets to the tight ends. Awesome. You had 8 targets to Jerry Jeudy. Perfect. You had 6 targets to KJ Hamler. Maybe even a little bit more than you need, but hey, great. And Tim Patrick, Tim Patrick has had himself a year too. 8 targets to him.
It's going to be really interesting next year when Cortland's back. How do we utilize these 3 guys? What are we doing? How are we getting all three of these guys involved?
That is such a great question.
That's a great problem to have. No complaints.
That's some first world problems right there.
Right.
You see it, though. You see what's possible. And it ultimately comes back to how was Drew Lock at the end of the day. You had a running game that made sense. You had a balanced attack. You had your quarterback under center. You had a nice little wrinkle, or not a wrinkle, because you said they've been doing all year. We just haven't noticed with the guards and tackles pulling Reisner and Bowles. Bowles is, what else do you need to see? He probably will get franchise tag because you got to try to keep Justin Simmons.
Right.
So that's probably going to happen. It probably would cost you less money to give Justin Simmons a big time deal for a longer period of time than franchise tag Justin Simmons again, because what are you going to do with Bowles? You can slap that tag on Bowles, keep him around for another year, try to work something out. You can always try to work something out and keep Simmons here. Makes Vaughn very interesting, by the way. But Cortland Sutton's another one coming right down the pipe as well. And then you got your running back set up for another year. Why not? I mean, I get it. And I love Philip Lindsay. You do too, shoulder to shoulder. We get it. But who wouldn't sign up for a combination like this? And if you take away the
I got it. Let's see a few more games before I'm telling you that it's worth that $8 million. We've gotten anything remotely worth $8 million, my friend.
But that money's spent.
I got it. It's not spent next year. You can get out of it.
You could. Man, you would still think about getting out of it at this point?
Heck yeah, I would.
Really?
Absolutely. 100% I would, especially when I know I got to pay Justin, especially when I know I got to pay Garrett Bowles, especially when I know that my preference would be to get Vaughn back on a reduced rate.
So Gordon's not that special to you.
What has he done this year to be even remotely warranted?
All right. You get another guy to do what he did yesterday. No,
sure.
No big deal. Okay. Well, you can save some money there, too. There's an easy way to get out of that as well. You can save money on Gordon. You can save money on Vaughn. You can keep Justin. You can keep Bowles. You got Drew Lock cinched up. No problem for a couple of years. You throw a second-round tender on Phil, or you can Phil a new deal. You could do that.
You could.
You know, Of course they won't. But you could. But now we need to have the Drew Lock conversation, and we will, coming up next on The Fan.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Lock, third and 10, Dompier, caught by Judy. He beat Needham. He gets the first down into Miami territory at the 36. Great throw by Lock.
This was a game that was pretty much chalked up before we even played it in a lot of people's eyes. There's no way that we were going to be able to pull this one off, and that's just... It's typical NFL football, man. You gotta take it week by week, and that's what I figured out. That was a really hot Dolphins team coming in. They've been scoring points on defense, having takeovers or turnovers, and taking the ball away from offense. And I was extremely determined. There's a lot of talk about playing this week or not playing this week, and there was going to be nothing pain-wise that was going to stop me from playing this game. Definitely wasn't an easy week of practice, fighting through it, and even today a little bit, but... our offensive line blocked their butts off. We kept me clean tonight. It was a nice game.
Drew Lock wasn't going to back down, Tyler.
No. He would have if it was up to you.
It sure would have.
You sure were begging him to back down. Oh, Drew, I'm so worried.
I was so worried.
You're going to get killed, Drew. Oh, this is a terrible game. This is the 85 Bears. This defense is unbelievable.
I risk high reward. But that's what makes things exciting. It looked terrible in the beginning. And Tua did get pulled. We'll maybe talk about that in a little bit, you know.
That's an interesting story in its own right.
It is. We'll get into that after 5 o'clock. Or maybe even Cliff's coming up here in about 10 minutes. But just talk to me about Locke. What did you see out of him?
You know, I thought Drew was better. It was improvement. They put him in a position to succeed, number one, and lo and behold, he had some success. They gave him a very strong commitment to the running game, something that I begged them to be doing for weeks now. And it would have been very easy to bail on the running game in this game, just like you have in previous weeks. The first series was ugly, man. It was really ugly. You were getting absolutely nothing. Might have been the first couple series, if I remember correctly. So Pat Shurmur could have bailed on it, but he stayed committed. And then you put him underneath center. That's where Drew Lock looks better. Everybody thinks that Drew Lock needs to be in gun because he came from Missouri and he was in this spread it out system in college. No, man, when he gets in gun, He gets lazy. His footwork is bad. He does not play at his feet. He throws off of the wrong foot. It's just it's been a recipe for disaster so far when he's been underneath or been in gun. And in this game, they went from playing in shotgun 70% of their snaps to playing in shotgun in 59% of their snaps. All right, doesn't sound like a huge difference, but it was enough. It was enough to give him success. I mean, that's an 11% drop in one game.
That's pretty big.
Yeah, that's certainly enough to set the guy up for some timing and some tempo and some three-step throws, and he looked better. Listen, was he amazing? No. Was that a game that is going to change anybody's mind? No, definitely not. But it was improvement, and that's all we can ask for right now.
It's the right direction.
Sure.
That game could have gone a lot of different ways, especially with the way it began. You could have seen a benching. You could have seen an injury. You could have seen a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it started, it felt like it was going down the wrong path.
Sure did.
So I have to praise Drew Locke for having the intestinal fortitude, and I'm not going to look past that. That wasn't Paxton Lynch crying on the sideline. That was a guy who's been through a lot over the past month, who was able to just keep himself and his teammates together to just work at it brick by brick. And good for Pat Shurmur for designing an offense that enabled him to do that. And of course, great for the defense that the game didn't get away from him. It didn't get 7-0 to 10-0 like Atlanta did.
Yeah.
10-0 to 17-0 to 17-3, and now it's halftime. You know, that is, I mean, it could have. We had seen that with the Dolphins against teams like the Chargers. We saw it, but it didn't. So the defense was able to really play extraordinary to allow Locke to make a comeback. And he did. He did well enough to, give his team a great chance to win. And when he needed to pull the ball down, especially on that 3rd and 13, he did it. He was able to do it.
Yeah. You know, I think the most important thing that you pointed out there, it is worth highlighting, is just the mental fortitude to be able to flush a bad play.
Yeah.
And a lot of stuff has been going bad for Drew Locke here for a month now. It has just been an outright disaster.
Tough stuff.
He's hurt. He's banged up. You come out right out the gates, and you toss a terrible interception.
Ugh.
And it was as bad as he could possibly get.
Right.
I mean, throwing off the wrong foot, it was just a panic throw.
Middle of the field,
way behind. Just nothing was even close on that play. And he flushed it. And that's tough to do. It's tough to flush a bad play like that when you begin the game. So, sure, I'll give him credit for that. And it's worthy of pointing out, and 100% I agree with you, that shows a lot of mental toughness, and that shows some grit. The rest of the game, though, it was just kind of like, it was just kind of okay.
Did you think at any point, they may pull him for ripping here today.
Oh, no. When he tossed that interception, I thought we might be heading down that road.
Okay.
But no, I did not think we were there then. And after that, certainly didn't do anything. And we'll kind of touch on this a little bit later. But with Tua, Tua didn't do anything to get benched either. That was a bad decision. They shouldn't have benched Tua.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa. Oh, we do not have time. I'm dying to hear that explanation.
Yeah.
Okay. That's something to look forward to. That's something really to look forward to because it relates directly to the Broncos for the rest of the season.
Sure.
Okay. Got our guy Kliss on. Kliss is such a good dude. Just a little thing here about Kliss is I've been working here at the station for a little over 13 years. And one of the first guys in the local media who just had a nice word to say to me was Mike Kliss. And I even remember the moment. I thought Mike Kliss was, the cat's meow. Still is at the time. Just an older meow. It's more a softer purr these days.
Sure.
But it was in the Miami.
Sleep apnea.
It was at the Miami Super Bowl, which stands out to me because I happened to be at a place that was selling souvenirs, and there was Floyd Little. And you got to understand, going to Syracuse, Floyd Little, never mind the Broncos, being a Syracuse guy, Floyd Little?
Yeah.
Floyd Little? Come on, man. I mean, number 44, one of the, Ernie Davis, Floyd Little, 44, the number's legendary. It's just a Syracuse thing, right? So to see just Floyd Little right in front of me, I never met him before, never saw him before. But the reason I ran into Mike is because Floyd Little, it was his last chance to get into the Hall of Fame, Tyler. He was on the veteran side of things, and this was it. So what did Floyd Little do? He brought his entire family down to Miami. I mean, there had to be 20, 30 people that were all there one way or the other. He was going in or he was not going to make it. I don't know if most people would have just been like, hey, come on down, because it could have been. I mean, sadly, we see the other side of it with Randy Gratishar these days. But Floyd brought everybody down, and I just happened to bump into him. And I had my first real conversation with Mike Kliss shortly thereafter, where he came up and said, hey, he really enjoyed the show. And, oh, okay, thanks, Mike. Didn't really know him that well. So Mike Kliss always stands out to me about Floyd Little. And Mike and I talk every Sunday after the game. We just call one or what'd you think? And me and Mike have a little moment, you know, because we're pals now, and I'm happy that he's a good friend of mine. Last night, the first thing Mike said to me was, how about them giving a game ball to Floyd Little, who we found out is in hospice care now, and maybe, sadly, at the end of the road after a battle of cancer.
Yeah.
And I just want to take a moment to recognize how tremendous Floyd Little is, the relationship I have with Kliss tied into Floyd, and how much he means to this whole community. And of all the classy moments and something you can do that really stands out about what the true essence of what this Broncos organization has been and will continue to be, it's honoring one of their greatest after a big win and recognizing him through giving him a game ball and honoring the guy who, if you really look at the history of the Denver Broncos, may have saved this franchise. It's one of the reasons why his nickname is the franchise. You got to see what those Broncos teams were like back in the 60s. If it wasn't Floyd Little, there's a chance it could be the, who knows? It could be the, you know, the North Dakota Broncos, not the Denver Broncos. So our thoughts and prayers are with Floyd Little and his family, and I thought it was a tremendous moment that the Broncos honored him with a game ball. We'll talk about that with Mike and also how Drew Lock is faring. Mike Kliss up next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
Mike Kliss, our 9 News Broncos insider, joins us courtesy of Bet Rivers Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino on the RamosLaw.com text line. Hey, Kliss. Don't forget to unmute your mic from Mike. Mike, what's he talking about? Well,
okay, Mike, we're going to try again.
Go Coach, ahead. Coach, you got me?
We got you.
Mike, you're 100% that you don't never turn on your switch.
Hey.
And with that, we bring Mike Kliss into the show. Mike, that Zoom stuff, it's not easy. It's not no, easy, no. Mike.
We still got 6 or 7 more weeks of this season. Don't give up on me yet, guys. Give up on me yet.
You are the Drew Lock of mic performance on the Zoom calls. there's a lot of potential there, but we're not quite sure.
You know, I guess there was some feedback coming from my Seth actually muted me,
mm-hmm.
And even though I was unmuted. So
oh,
I don't know.
Now
what
we're
was
blaming
going.
Others. Right. Typical. Very
yeah.
D-Mac move
yeah.
on your behalf. There.
Wow.
Yeah, very D-Mac move.
Wow. All right.
Wow.
All right, Mike. Drew Lock.
But you're welcome. You're welcome for eventually making that an interesting Zoom call.
Yeah.
You know,
we appreciate it. Yeah, those things are boring.
Yeah,
I'm not going to lie. Those things are, it's like, let's get the toothpicks out. All right. What did you think of Drew Lock yesterday, Mike? Talk to me about him.
Yeah, I was impressed in that, you know, that everyone was coming down on him. He was beat up, you know, under siege, so to speak, from before the injury. And then the injury kind of changed the narrative to, Drew's not any good, to Drew's hurt, and is he going to play? So in a way, maybe that helped him. I don't know. But I thought there was some pressure on him. Yesterday, and then he threw the early pick, and I really thought for a minute there he was done, and then he came through. I thought he came through. He hit some big passes. The running game, what happened there was in the third series, they threw the ball 4 times in a row, And that opened up a 20-yard run for Philip Lindsay. So they kind of passed to set up the run. And then once the run took off, there was a beautiful play action where he was in the pistol and Melvin Gordon was behind him. He faked the Gordon. He threw, and Tim Patrick was wide open on a simple, middle pattern there. And he went 41 yards. And yeah, I thought he had a beautiful pass to Judy on an out to convert a third down, I think. So I thought that given the circumstances of recent performances that Drew Lock bounced back nicely. Now let's see what he does against better teams here these next 2 weeks.
Well, anytime you get two running backs with over 15 carries each and with over 80 yards each, that's certainly going to be a quarterback's best friend. Were you surprised that Pat Shurmur found a new commitment to the running game the way that he did?
I was on a radio show in Miami before. I think I was on before D-Mac and Mike Evans. And Channing Crowder, who's a former Dolphin, he said that the Dolphins were really small up front defensively. They're fast. They're aggressive. They get after the quarterback. But they can be run on. And he asked if the Broncos could run. And that was obviously the answer to that had been no to that point. So I'm not, I guess in light of that, I'm not surprised that Shurmur looked at film and said, the Broncos can run on these guys. And I was surprised by the method, all the pulling of, left guard Dalton Risner. You know, I was talking to Fangio today about how he looked like Fuzzy Thurston out there. I think, you know, and Bowles out there, the guards and the tackles must love that. They're in the box and they grind it out. No one ever knows what they do. They're just kind of in this scrum all day long. And for them to get out in space where everyone can see them and they get to steamroll a 180-pound cornerback, they must really like that. So maybe they found something with the pull and with the pull run game. And it just looked like the Broncos were having fun, not only running, you know, but they ran it in chunks, and their offensive linemen looked like they had some fun.
Tua, who I assume is developing as well, got benched in order for his team to win. Do you think there was a short rope for Drew Lock?
I think there might have been. We were all in the press box there, and we were wondering what would have happened had he not hit that 3rd and 10 to KJ Hamler at the end of that, kind of got that third series going. And right after that completion of Hamler, then came the 20-yard run by Lindsay, and then the 14-yard scramble on 3rd and 13 by Locke. So that would have been interesting. Fangio said today he had not considered it. I'm not so sure, because at that point he would have been 0 for 7 with an interception and 2 3-and-outs. And, you know, given the body of poor play going into those first three series, I wouldn't have been surprised if Fangio said we gotta try something here. But we'll never know.
Do you think that was enough for Drew Lock to change the narrative that has been painted about him?
Yeah, I think he's the guy. Yeah, I think we can all stop wondering whether he's the guy. And now I think it's enough to where he's definitely going to be the guy the rest of the season. I mean,
I mean, the rest of the season's not the question. The future's the question.
Well, we all still have to see more, don't we? I mean, it's I would say this season is incomplete at the moment. I mean, these final 7 games, if he plays well the final 7 games, you know, if he plays the final 7 games kind of like yesterday, then yes, I think they'll go into the offseason with Drew Lock as their quarterback.
What, if any, conversations have been held with Elway and Vaughn's agent about a restructure of his deal?
None. Yeah, there hasn't been any. And, I don't know what they do. They sure have a lot of decisions to make. Bowles, I think mm-hmm. the top two are Bowles and Simmons. right now, the lean that, you know, and I'm just guessing here, but it would make sense if you franchise,
Bowles
and you try to work out a deal to where Justin Simmons doesn't, you can get it done for $13 million a year for Justin Simmons. I don't know if you can or not. He turned it down once. The reason why I think you might be able to do it a second time is because the salary cap's coming down, $25 million by all projections. But then you got Jarrell Casey, who's 31, 32, making big money, coming off a season-ending injury. Don't think you do that. Vaughn will be 33 next year, maybe?
Yikes.
Or is he 32?
I don't know.
But making 18 in the final year, don't think you do that. And A.J. Boye, $13.5 million at 31 years old, and not sure you do that. So, and then Kareem's 33 at $11 million. So they... That defense has got to be restructured now. They just revamped the offense here in the last couple of years. Now they got to restructure the defense.
Hey,
it's always something when you're constructing the roster.
Yeah. Ojemudia, what's going on?
Yeah.
Asking. He had no Tyler again. Zero snaps. Two games in a row. Zero right. Defensive snaps.
Yeah. They only went with the three and. And they've decided on, see, Bassey's better inside.
Mm-hmm.
And so they think they're better with Callahan and Boye outside.
Okay.
And I don't know if that's because they got to keep Callahan and Boye healthy. And you can stay healthier on the outside, Callahan especially. I'm not sure what the reasoning is. But if they felt like... they were better with Callahan on the inside and Ojemudia on the outside, that's what they would do. But that's not where they're going. And Vic, we said this last year, compared to other defensive coordinators, Vic doesn't use his bench. Those guys are out there 100% of the snaps. They don't come off the field.
Right.
So that's what's going on there. I guess he'll have to develop and practice, and it'll probably work out that he is back out there at some point this season.
When the Broncos Twitter people were ragging on the doubters and haters again, they weren't talking about Mike Kliss, who boldly predicted the Broncos to beat the Dolphins with me and Mike Evans right before the game started.
Oh, nice, nice.
That is absolutely true. So congratulations to you, Mike. Any other odds and ends? Anything else we should know?
No, the Zoom call till I got on there, there wasn't even a good injury to talk about.
Thank you, Mike Kliss. We'll talk to you later. Mike Kliss, courtesy of Bet Rivers Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino.
Hey, Philip. Two questions here. One, those guns look a little bigger.
It's KKFN and KKFN HD1, Longmont, Denver. Five.
Tackle at the 23. This baby's over. And the Denver Broncos have stopped the Miami Dolphins' five-game winning streak. Victory!
Here's me walking in the crib and everything.
What's up, Drew Locke?
How are we?
We're doing all right. Congratulations to the Broncos, to the Broncos fans that were there. I loved how the camera picked up on a guy at the Broncos Dolphins game dressed completely in Pittsburgh Steelers gear. All right. The Broncos pick up a huge upset victory. And even on, I'm going to use the last play of the game. The very last play of the game. If you want some sort of check on Drew Locke and what this guy's all about, there's something with swag with this guy that it's just who he is. And I don't think you're going to get it out of him. With 4 seconds to go, fourth and whatever it was, all you got to do get the ball, huck it in the 10th row. Right, Tyler? Just throw it as far and as high as you can out of bounds. But Drew Lock saw man coverage on Tim Patrick, and instead of throwing it out of bounds, if I'm going to throw it, yeah, what the hell? I may as well try to, you know, throw it and get, you know, throw it down the field to Tim Patrick. You realize, and this is small, but you realize that is actually a little bit of a screw up, and it's not the way it was designed. That ball wasn't designed to be in bounds. We all realize that, right? It was meant to be thrown away from everybody. There's something about this Drew Lock kid, whether you like it or you don't like it, that's the type of guy and player he is, for good or for bad. It's who he is. And it's probably for good that there's something about him that can flush it. I mean, that has to exist. Because if he didn't have the ability to flush it, Tyler, I think the Broncos get smoked in that game. Because I just think more mistakes would have inevitably happened. But they didn't. The kid's got swag. It's not always going to be perfect. Who knows where it's really going to go down the line. But that's just who he is. And that's the big question I think Broncos fans are going to have to wrestle with. Is that the guy that we feel confident enough moving forward with the Denver Broncos in the future? It's an interesting question.
Yeah, you got to give him a lot of credit for flushing that first interception. And, you know, that was about as bad of a start as you could possibly get to this game. It felt exactly like the last 3 weeks. So to be able to flush that is a good, healthy sign. I'm not going to go overboard here and think that he is always going to do that. Listen, we just watched 3 weeks of bad football spiraling into worse football. So that game does not erase everything that has happened in the past, but it was a good sign. And he bounced back from it for an okay performance. You know, the reality is Drew Lock was 18 of 30. And if you take away that final play, it was 17 of 29 for about 210 yards. Okay, it was fine. It was a reasonable, good game, but certainly not the type of game that you're going to need out of a franchise quarterback. It was improvement, and you take improvement anytime. I give him all the credit in the world for being able to flush that and improving. He was benefited greatly by a game plan that did not expose him. And I give Pat Shurmur credit for that as well. Finally, we made a commitment to the running game. Finally, we put Drew Lock underneath center. Finally, we stopped putting him in shotgun for 70% of the snaps, and we allowed him to play underneath center in a position in which he can play with timing and tempo. I liked what I saw out of Drew Lock last night, yesterday. It was improvement. It was improvement.
Can you win with this style of football?
You can. You can win a lot of games, but it's tough to come back. It's tough when you fall behind. And, you know, when you got to rely on a running game the way that we had yesterday, listen, that's not very realistic to think you're going to get two rushers that go for over 80 yards in many games. Not realistic. Best case scenario, you're talking about maybe 50 yards and 50 yards, 100 yards on a game combined, right? That's probably a more realistic situation. So, Drew Lock, shoot, the Miami Dolphins just won 5 straight games coming into this game doing what Drew Lock did. Tua Tagovailoa, I told you all week long, was the definition of a game manager. He was doing nothing. And then the entire 5 games, or the 3 games that he had started, it was barely, man, he barely had an impressive moment. I couldn't even figure out what everybody was all hyped about. And so can you win games? Sure. But once you fall behind, it becomes tough.
I want to get back to Tua and how it relates to the Broncos. Here's Coach Fangio today, and he talked about what Lock has to do to be more consistent.
Well, the one thing we did as a team yesterday was we ran the ball better. We played good defense for the most part. And to me, those are our quarterbacks, especially young quarterbacks, two best friends. They had them yesterday. So the more we can do that as a team, the more he'll be able to develop in a more logical progression. As it relates to him specifically, I mean, we just have to be able to, you know, eliminate the bad plays, you know, the interceptions, make the right reads, you know, make some easy completions. I'd like to see him get off to a better start, obviously, than we've been getting off, particularly as it relates to the passing game here the last few weeks. So those are some points of emphasis I think we need to focus on this week.
And Coach Fangio was asked, did he consider going with Rippon after Locke's initial interception.
No, that thought never did cross my mind. And the work Brett got last week, the bulk of it was on Wednesday. Drew got the bulk of it on Thursday and Friday.
Now, you said the Dolphins shouldn't have benched Tua.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, you made a big decision when you benched Ryan Fitzpatrick. And things were going well as they have in a very long time out there in Miami when Ryan Fitzpatrick was playing quarterback. But you made the move for the future, and you made the move for Tua Tagovailoa, and you certainly had to know that when Tua comes in, you're going to have some highs, you're going to have some lows, and you got to ride with that. When you make that switch, you're all in. You're all in on Tua Tagovailoa. And if you don't think that he can come from behind and win a football game for you, well, what are you doing? Why are you making the switch anyways? And on top of that, maybe more importantly than that, well, actually, that's pretty important in its own right. Just the what is it telling your team? What is it telling Tua? All of the above.
Well, but I can answer that one for you.
Okay, let me just finish it really quick.
Right.
But on top of that, I add into it, that was not the type of game that you should get benched from. He wasn't making mistakes. He just wasn't out there winning the game either. And I understand you're trying to win a football game, and I understand when you needed to score 10 points with the game on the line, you thought Ryan Fitzpatrick gave you a better opportunity. But Tua was 12 of 18. He had... He was 11 of 20, and, you know, it was one touchdown, no interceptions, just it looked exactly like it looked previously. So once you make that switch, you just got to be all in.
Man. Brian Flores came out today and said Tua will start on Sunday.
I know.
He's not benched forever.
I know.
They were 6-3. Buffalo had a bye week, meaning... Had they won, they would have been in a tie for first place with the Bills.
Okay. Is Fitzpatrick the better quarterback? If the goal is to get in first place.
But they were in a spot.
No, not long term, right now. If the goal is to get to the playoffs, then you should be playing the best quarterback. And if Ryan Fitzpatrick is the best quarterback, then you play the best quarterback.
I think Ryan Fitzpatrick proved pretty quickly he was the best quarterback on the field once he went into the game.
That's my point. So is it about now or is it about the future? Which one is it?
I think it can't be about both. You can't try to develop a guy, try to go as far as you can with him, know that he's the future, but at the end of the day, still tell all the other men on your team, no, we need to win today, and we're going to do what it takes to win today. And, you know, suck it up, Buttercup, to a Tagovailoa. You're just going to have to, you know, be able to handle this because it's not your day.
Well, I would understand benching Tua had he gone out there and tossed three interceptions. Had it been a game like Drew Locke had last week, certainly you bench a guy when a guy needs to be benched. And when he needs to be pulled out of harm's way for his own good, you pull him out of harm's way. But that wasn't the type of game that Tua was having. He was playing exactly like he had the previous 3 weeks. So that's where I get a little bit confused. What's going on out there in Miami? Are they trying to win this year, or are they trying to play for the future? Because if they're playing the best quarterback, Ryan Fitzpatrick will give you the best opportunity to win. And so sure, you play him.
Well, I guess what I guess I can easily see the comparisons, you know, with Drew Locke and the rest of the season, meaning, okay, I get it. He's your starter. He's your guy. But, I mean, what if the Broncos are playing well and Drew's just having a bad day?
Oh, but our season's over, so that doesn't matter.
Whoa! All right, wait a second.
It's a way different situation.
Our season's over?
Yeah.
Why is the Broncos season over?
Where do you think the season's going, D-Man?
I don't know. It just took an interesting turn.
So where do you think it's going?
I'm not sure.
It's over.
I really don't know.
You're not going anywhere. You're playing to figure out what you got in Drew Locke. That's what this season is.
You got so, 6 losses. They're going to put at least one extra team in.
Okay.
By the way, the Ravens had all sorts of COVID problems in their building. We'll see what they're on lockdown. You may have 2 extra teams. You may have a 7th and an 8th team in the playoffs this year. You know, with just having one extra team, that I always used to think of the elimination number as 7 losses. I don't think of that. I don't think you're out of it until you have 8 losses. Now I get it. You got the Chiefs. All right.
Keep going.
That's a loss. Who else on the schedule is a guaranteed loss?
Raiders, guaranteed loss.
Guaranteed loss to the Raiders?
Did you not just?
I watched the game last night.
Makes me wonder what you're watching because you're all scared of the Dolphins. You're all high against the Raiders. I was telling you the Raiders are a complete football team. They are really good. The Dolphins were a very marginal football team.
That's impossible. A home game against the Raiders is impossible.
Impossible? No, nothing's impossible. Any given Sunday, you could beat the Chiefs. So no, nothing's impossible. But I'm keeping it real with you.
All right, so you got it. So, all right, I'll roll with you, I guess. Okay. The Chiefs is a definite loss in the last game of the year. The Raiders.
Loss.
The Bills is a definite loss?
Yeah.
Oh, wait a second. Boy, I feel like this is Freaky Friday here.
No.
Because I was Mr. Like, there's no way, no how, that ain't going to happen with the Dolphins. And now you're telling me...
No, you're riding the wave of the moment of a win, and you're forgetting what the reality is, what this team is.
But a definite loss? You got two definite losses at home?
I'm not guaranteeing anything, and I'm certainly telling you nothing is... I'm not sitting here telling you anything is impossible, but I'm keeping it real, and I'm giving you my real opinion that, yes, they will lose those games.
You know,
that is my real opinion.
VJ in his second year was 3-6, just like Vic for 2 years in a row. He won that fourth game. He won the fifth and the sixth game. He went 6-6.
Okay.
Listen, I'm not. I get it. I watched the Chiefs last night. I think that's ridiculous. I could never ever.
Were you watching the Raiders?
I was watching the Raiders. I was. The Saints. Let's talk about the Saints real quick.
Okay.
Because that's who we got coming to town here in Colorado. I do wonder if there is something about these teams that mostly play in certain conditions. When they come here to Denver, that just throws them off. I really do wonder about that.
What conditions are you talking
about?
Warm
climate, or they play on a carpet in a dome. But there's just something about the altitude and being out. I don't know, man. It feels different. It feels like they're just not the same type of teams when they're up here. And this is a very unusual game for the Saints.
Gosh, I would hate to imagine how good all these teams could be over the last 3 or 4 years.
Do you think the Saints with Taysom Hill, you said you watched basically that entire game.
Yeah, I did. I watched it start to finish.
All right, and we'll break it down more later in the week. But do you feel like they are an impossible team to beat?
I think it's very unlikely that we'd beat them, yes.
What do you see about them that makes it so difficult?
They've got players at every single position. They've got a backup quarterback right now that's running a system that is very tough to stop. It's a great situational quarterback. I thought Taysom Hill looked fantastic. He threw the ball well. When they got down there in the lower red zone, they still utilized him the same way they've been using him in previous years. The Saints are just a good football team.
I was convinced. Without a shadow of the doubt, the Broncos were going to lose to the Dolphins. Not only lose, but basically get killed. Totally wrong. Do you feel like I felt about the Dolphins, about the Saints? Are you convinced? Do you feel like, yeah, it's one thing?
No, I don't think that. I don't feel that way. No.
Listen, we'll look into it, of course. And
I mean, anytime a team's playing their backup quarterback, that is a winnable football game.
You hear about Taysom Hill in fantasy, by the way?
I did, yeah. They got that fixed, huh?
They did, but there was just a little gremlin in the works. I took advantage of it. You did too, Richie? It helped me greatly. He got like over 24 points. Was there another tight end in the league that got as many fantasy points as Taysom Hill? Did any tight end get as many fantasy points as Taysom Hill?
You're asking the wrong guy.
I still lost, by the way. Not that I know nobody cares about my fantasy team. But it was fun to use him. But they fixed that glitch. He's now going to be considered a quarterback. Heads up, all you fantasy people. I thought they made the right move in benching Tua. They gave their team a chance to win. And you're the one that told me, I think you said it. What are we saying? Travis Kelce got more than Taysom Hill? Of course, right? Chiefs. What are we saying to all these other guys if we don't do everything we can on that given Sunday to try to win the game the best that we can? I don't think the season is... Boy, I don't think it's over.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, all right. Well, wow. I mean, over?
Yeah.
Over?
I can still enjoy it. There's still a lot to play for. There's still a ton of reasons to tune in every single weekend.
Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Oh, I had to use it. I know.
Yeah.
It's going to cause me problems.
That's not true!
All right. I'm surprised. Little surprised.
What in the world are you surprised by? There's nothing new about that take. That's exactly where I've been for a very long time.
Broncos down by...
See, here's...
What if the Broncos were in the Dolphins situation yesterday? You wouldn't have wanted to see Rippon come in the fourth quarter?
Heck no. Because
no,
I'm trying to
zero.
Figure out if Drew Lock is my guy or not. Absolutely not.
So
the Dolphins have a very different situation in which I understand why they benched him. It's just a little bit confusing. Which one is it? Are you playing for the long-term play or are you playing to win this year? Because if they're playing to win this year, you put in the backup veteran quarterback that brings a lot of spark, a lot of energy, something that we definitely do not have on this team. We don't have somebody to bench Drew Lock for like they've got Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Mm.
So to bench Drew Lock, that's just giving up. That's just giving up on Drew Lock, and it's giving up on the season, and it's folding your cards and saying we got to find ourselves a new QB.
Well, listen, this is a weird conversation because I'm certainly enthusiastic about Drew Lock. I'm glad, you know, I'm glad he survived. I'm glad they worked out a game plan to. He did take a couple of hits. There was one he took that just got blasted. He did recognize he did see the situation. He actually recognized what was going on. He wasn't fooled by it. And he did get rid of the ball, but he, you know, he still took the lick. You know, okay, what are you going to do? It's football, right? He didn't do anything wrong. It's not like the week before where he simply didn't know what was going on and took a hit. He saw it and he still took a hit. He was all right. He lived, right?
Yeah, and outside of the interception, I really didn't think that Drew Lock looked confused by the looks that the Miami defense was
bringing.
They
were in the beginning. They called the timeout right off the bat.
We did.
But you're right. They got it together.
But he settled down. He got into a rhythm, and I thought that he remembered what the game plan was. He knew how he was supposed to execute it.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a very encouraging sign that you went up against what can be a chaotic-looking defense, and Drew Lock looked like he was calm and under control.
Yeah, I just, you know, three times they used that play-action boot roll flip to the tight end. Just such a...
Yep.
Such a great play. I mean, a play we've seen here in Denver, I mean, forever. You got to kind of grab the tight end, I guess. You got to kind of mess him up at the beginning to screw up that play. But that play always seems to work. And it always seems to go for, you know, pretty big yards. And I get it. You got to set it up with the play action, right? You got to set it up with the run. It means nothing if you don't set it up with the run.
That's right. That's right. And it's a very easy play for a young quarterback because you've got two reads. It's a high-low, and you take the open wide receiver, whether the defender chose the high guy or the low guy. And if neither one's there, you just take off and you run. So
not much to think about.
You don't have to go through a ton of progressions. You get to think on your feet, and if it's not there, you just run.
Yeah, when he threw that ball like 9 feet over Fumagalli's head, it was like, oh, boy. You know, but small moment. He really didn't have to do too much yesterday at all, did he? But he couldn't make dumb mistakes. I don't know. I thought it was good. I see what you're saying because it's not very spectacular quarterback play. It's not, I don't know. I understand how everybody feels because as soon as the game's over, you flip on Kansas City and the Raiders, and it's like a different sport. I mean, it's like, who are these guys? What are they doing out there?
I mean, listen, the reality is all three of the other quarterbacks in the AFC West are in a different stratosphere than Drew Lock right now.
Herbert got a win, finally. Let me ask you this. I heard Mike and Mark talk about it this morning. And I, earlier in the show, compared yesterday's game for Drew Lock to Baker Mayfield. And the Browns are winning. And he is simply managing things. Would you be okay? Two-parter here. Would you be okay if the Broncos managed Drew Lock like the Browns are managing Baker Mayfield, which is incredibly heavy on the run?
Absolutely. That's what they should be doing.
Do you think Drew Lock would progress past wherever Baker Mayfield is to at some point be on the same level as Derek Carr?
I'm not ready to predict that one, D-Mac.
Not there yet. Mean, you don't see that yet.
Let me see him manage some games for a while.
Not
and
sure.
Then after he manages like half a season, then I'll let him loose a little bit. I'll try to set him free, and then I'll see if he can go out and do some things that are special. But at this point, I'm looking for a guy that isn't going to lose any games.
If he could get – nobody's expecting him to be Patrick Mahomes. There's only one Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
Nobody expects him to be Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson. It's just not who he's going to be, right? What if Locke could be on the same level as Derek Carr?
Well, that would be very hard to replace, and that's why the Raiders can't replace Derek Carr. And you hear them flirting with it in the offseason, but they don't do it because the reality is you take the bird in hand when you got a pretty dang good quarterback, and Derek Carr is an above-average quarterback.
He is. I agree.
I've always been high on Derek Carr, much higher than most people, and you don't replace guys like that. So if we got to the point where he's like Derek Carr,
pretty good.
You know what we would have? You probably aren't winning championships, but you're going to have a decade of stable football.
Okay, I was about to go there. Is Derek Carr good enough to win the regular season? Clearly.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Derek Carr can win a Super Bowl with the right
team.
Well,
that's where I was going. Sure. Can you win a Super Bowl with Derek Carr?
Sure. Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl, and I know he was playing great that year. There's lots of guys that have won. Trent Dilfer has won a Super Bowl. There's lots of guys that have won a Super Bowl that are average quarterbacks. But Derek Carr's an above-average quarterback. I really don't mean to put him down like that. I just think that, yes, he needs a lot to be going well at the same time. He's not going to go win that Super Bowl on his own.
How long did it take Derek Carr to be Derek Carr?
Right away.
You think so, huh? You know, you thought it was like that right away?
Yeah. What was it?
Didn't take a couple years.
Was it his second year? Or maybe was it his third year that he was MVP in the MVP race when Bill Musgrave was his offensive coordinator?
Third year.
Derek Carr's looked good from day one.
On his third year, he was in the MVP conversation. Finished third. Oh, man, that's a lot.
Dude, his rookie year. His rookie year.
Yeah.
Threw for 3,270 yards, 21 touchdowns, 12 interceptions.
That's pretty good.
Come on.
What do you do his second year?
32 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, 3,987 yards.
So if Drew Locke could be Derek Carr, we'd be lucky.
Well, this guy just takes care of the ball. He's not had a bad season yet. I'm going to do this quick. Year after that, third year, 28 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Fourth year, 22 touchdowns. This is his worst year with interceptions. 22 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. Mm. Fifth year, 19-10. Sixth year, 21-8. This year, 19-3. That's a dang good quarterback.
Why would you ever get rid of that guy? Why would you ever get rid of that guy?
Well, that's why they haven't. Yeah.
All right, so we don't know that. It's hard to project that. I thought that I was listening to the boys this morning. I thought that was an interesting comparison to say, could you get to that level?
What did they say? I actually didn't hear it.
They were kind of enthusiastic. Mark was actually down on Locke. Mark wasn't head over heels about the performance and, you know, kind of a wait and see. Everybody's a little bit of a wait and see.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, hey, man, this dude was being dragged behind the boat last week. I mean, this guy was about to be cut loose. You know, there was a lot that had to happen for people to even have a positive feeling about things compared to the way things were going.
Yeah, and he found the lifeline.
That's a good way to put it. Now,
he's holding on to it. He hasn't gotten back on board that boat yet, but he's holding on to that lifeline.
Better than to be, you know, chum in the water and eaten up by sharks.
Sure, sure.
Because, you know, dolphins won't eat you. They'll just play with you. They're happy.
They're scary.
Dolphins?
Yeah. You ever been next to a dolphin?
Well, I guess not.
Scary.
We're talking
they
about...
They could jump high. They could whip you with that tail. They could... I mean, there's a lot of stuff they could do.
We're talking about like a real dolphin, not like Larry Zonka. If I can make a Syracuse reference, I'll do it. When we come back, our prop bets. How do we actually do on this one? Did we see it the right way? We break it down the only way we know how. Next.